Don't storm back after what seems like a very long time. For some reason, this 2 weeks seemed a lot longer than the 2 weeks that I spent back in April and May. Not sure why. As the golem arrives here, quite unexpectedly, quite short notice, and to attend my mother's funeral services, and to be with my dad and to meet up with some family that I hadn't seen in, sort of quite a number of years now. My aunt and uncle, the last time I saw them was, I guess, 3 years ago, 2 summers ago. My sister, Lily, would have been about 2 summers ago. So, overall, although the event that precipitated all this was tragic, it did turn out to be a good time. A good time. And I could talk about the differences in Japanese funeral services, funeral ceremonies and rituals compared to the Western ones. But, and I suppose be interesting, but that's not where I'm going to go today. What I am going to talk about is related to really the amazement of all of us at the number of people who came to the memorial part of the service. The memorial was held at one of the, maybe it is the largest Adventist church in Japan. I'm not sure. It's in Tokyo next to the Adventist Hospital. It's the Amanuma Seventh-day Adventist Church. And it seats probably 300 to 400. And it was packed. Now, you might expect that for someone who was prominent, someone who was well known in the church. And if that was the case, the people who would come would be other church members, usually, typically, who would have known the person who had passed away. But in my mom's case, it was people from all walks of life, not just church members. People who had known her. On my dad's side, there are very few Christians. In fact, I suppose I could just count two, including my dad. And so that entire side of the family are non-Christians. And then to top it all off, part of the ceremony, a Christian memorial ceremony in Japan, involves each person going to the front, receiving a long stem flower of some sort, and walking up to the casket and placing the flower into the casket. The employees of the hospital, of which many are not Christian, have requested the administration to be able to take time out. Now, they would be able to attend the entire memorial, but they have requested to, because of time off, to be able to take part in at least that last part of the ceremony. And so, you know, during that time, perhaps another 100 or 200 came through. Now, we were wondering if there was anyone left in the hospital and if it was taking care of the patients during that time, because there was a huge line of people coming through. And I'm sure, you know, the people who were taking care of all the funeral arrangements must have been amazed as well. You know, I don't think they had expected so many people to come through, because they were, you know, they had these deadlines, these times that they had to observe. You know, because part of the ceremony after the memorial was to go to the cremation ceremony. Go to the crematorium, there's a time reserved for when the body was burned. And they were worried that might miss the window there of when the appointment was, but it all worked out. Why is it? And why was it that so many people took time out of their busy lives? Well, this wasn't a weekend, it was Tuesday afternoon. It was weekday. Some came from hundreds of miles away, just for that day, to pay their respects. Well, no things, just an ordinary person. I think it has to do with what we've been talking about in 1 John. I'd like to read 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 13. This is from the New Living Translation. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. All who confess that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in His love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced this perfect love. We love each other because He loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a Christian brother or sister, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And He has given us this command. And those who love God must also love their Christian brothers and sisters. I'm going to read two pieces here. The first one is my dad's address to the people who came to the memorial. It's to describe a little of what my mom was like. The second piece was a letter my mom wrote a week before she passed away from her own perspective. And I think the two together is an example of what will give a little bit of an indication and an example of what I just read in First John. So this is what my dad said. This is my translation. In English. Say so many here today to bid farewell. Bid her farewell and remember her. I think Yoko is very fortunate. Words cannot adequately express how very much her prayers and encouragement meant to us during her illness. Yoko, who had a bit of a restless, forward-looking, and proactive personality, went on ahead by herself out in this world and left us behind. I want to say to her, just wait a little bit longer. If I had not come across Yoko 43 years ago, I would not be who I am today. As of this year, we had been married 40 years. Yoko was my life's navigator. And by that, he meant a reference to a GPS navigation system. And she was the one who was mostly responsible for building from the ground up the life that I have today. We were singularly focused on getting through daily life during our uncertain 30s and 40s, and through our hectic 50s. We were finally beginning to breathe a little easier as we entered our 60s, and at 65 in retirement, we finally caught our breath. It seemed only yesterday that we said to one another, we finally have time to slow down and enjoy a new phase of life together. It was only 2 years later that Yoko was struck down with illness. Became progressively weaker, and one by one became unable to perform daily tasks. As a result, unlike in the past, I began to spend most of the day by her side. I began to discover a curious contentment and mysterious joy in this new daily life. In this quiet joy that I felt I have never had in the past, I began to think that this was a blessing that God was bestowing to us through the experience of this illness. Yoko was always cheerful, and she was the sunshine of our home. Her trademark was a constant smile and loud laughter. She was well known everywhere as Smiling Yoko. She was also a tiny superwoman. She was about this high, about this short height. With immense power and such small physical stature, she amazed onlookers by accomplishing one task after another and going out of her way to assist others. I call her Senju Kanno, which Senju Kanno is a bodhisattva or a little statue with 1,000 arms. Sen means 1,000, Ju is hand, so 1,000-handed bodhisattva. She seemed to use her 1,000 arms to full effectiveness. In addition to being my navigator, Yoko was my captain. In many ways over the past 40 years, I simply went along with what she said. When she said, why don't you become a physician? All I said was, yes, dear. And in her medical school, when she said, why don't you go to medical school in the United States? All I said was, yes, dear, and went abroad. Likewise, I came to travel and vacation, she took care of destinations, lodgings, and everything else. And then she would say, can you ask for such and such days off? Then it came time to depart, and we began to drive off. I would ask, where are we headed today? I literally drove off without knowing the destination. One incident trumps everything and takes the cake. Has to do with the purchase of the home in which I currently reside. One day he saw a real estate ad in a newspaper. She went to see the house by herself and made a decision on the spot. That night, after I came home, she said, "You know what? I made a somewhat large purchase today. I bought a house. I wonder if it's okay." "Is it okay?" Regardless of my thought on the matter, it was already a done deal. Perhaps more amazing was my response. "Oh, really? Where is it?" "I think that's okay." And that was the end of the discussion. You might be thinking, are you a marionette? And don't you have your own thoughts and convictions? In fact, the reality is that I believe that as long as I followed Yoga's directions, I wouldn't make a mistake. And therefore, to follow Yoga's guidance was my will and my conviction. Just as life is very different for everyone, there are many types of husband and wife relationships. Today, however, after losing my navigator, I feel like a kite whose string has been cut. I don't know to where I might fly off and end up. But this independent and mighty person came down with a condition called ALS, a very difficult and arduous and terrible disease. One by one, she lost her ability to perform what she had always done. I'm sure the difficulties of suffering can only be fully understood by the one who is experiencing it. Yet, without a single complaint, she looked forward and continued to live life, frequently going mountaineering and hiking, and frequently inviting people over for dinner. Whenever she learned of someone needing help, she would be there to render assistance with joy and laughter, no matter how tired she felt. Thus, most people who saw her thought she was in good health. Her condition, however, definitely and quickly worsened. All the muscles in her body gradually atrophied, and about 3 months ago, her breathing started to become difficult and labored. She was hardly able to sleep and slept each night, enduring a long night of suffering and distress. Unfortunately, her suffering would not ease with the arrival of dawn. This condition lasted for several months. She must have since began approaching and must have begun preparing for her death. She began to organize various things about her entering into this month. "I'm not at all afraid of dying. I'll see everyone again in heaven. I just don't want to suffer too much leading up to my death," is what she said. But the path given to her to travel was extremely cruel and harsh. Each day became increasingly difficult, both in breathing and in general physical existence. Speaking became progressively difficult and weaker. 3 days before her death, her condition worsened and was hospitalized. The following day, her breathing became dramatically labored and general suffering increased significantly. Speech became nearly impossible. Through struggling breaths, she repeated, "It's hard. It's hard. I've had enough. Let's end this. Dina, it's okay. I want it to end." Standing by her side, it was all I could do to endure with her. I could not do anything to alleviate her suffering. I would take her hand. I would wipe the sweat off her forehead. I would change her position. And this is how I spent the final 2 days, standing every moment next to her. I prayed, "Take her away quickly and give her peace." And I would say to her, "Let's meet again in heaven. You don't have to fight anymore. You can rest now." In an inaudible voice, she would respond and nod. We struggled and fought together without sleep the final 2 days. In spite of our unendurable suffering, these were the most joyous and contented moments of my life. I have never sensed yoga this close to my heart. Perhaps somehow the suffering allowed the joy and contentment to come through in an unprecedented way. I cannot understand how suffering can produce such a diametrically opposed effect. These past few months were indeed very difficult. Today, God has finally allowed her to rest peacefully and remove her suffering and pain. Her resting countenance is most peaceful and beautiful. It seems as if even now, she could awake and laugh at trademark laughter. Ha 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 ha. Together with Yoko, we have deeply appreciated your words of comfort and encouragement in your business. We have taken much courage to do that. I truly appreciate and thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules to brave the heat and for many of the same places to come out to a new yoga today. On behalf of all the family, I express our heartfelt gratitude for your presence here today. So that's from someone on the outside. And this is my mom describing what she was coming to. I want to express my deepest gratitude towards being who has offered earnest prayers on my behalf. It is only due to the support granted through your prayers that I am able to endure my current condition. I am grateful for all the friends I have had the opportunity to know through elementary school to college. During the years I was employed at Tokyo Adventist Hospital, and through the many years as part of the Truth family, I appreciate the many words and thoughts of care and concern expressed by each of you. As many of you may not be aware of my current condition or the exact illness with which I have been diagnosed, I would like to take a few moments to briefly describe it to you. Around November of 2007, I sought the advice of an orthopedic surgeon after experiencing weakness while using chopsticks and increasing difficulty in using stairs. After x-rays, MRI, and other tests, a compression was discovered in the cervical spine and was advised that the symptoms were probably due to age. I went away satisfied that this was indeed the case. A few months later, I was recommended another orthopedic surgeon in Yokohama. I went to see him several times over the spring and summer of 2008, where I underwent additional tests. About that time, the strength around my hips began to fail, and it came to a point where I was unable to remain standing without aid. The tests, however, all returned normal results. A follow-up visit to a neurologist was recommended, and I saw one at the same facility. I made several visits and underwent additional tests, but nothing came back from them to point to any reason or cause for my physical problems. At this point, I was ready to switch from attempting to obtain diagnosis from hospitals and instead attempt Eastern medicine to find relief and a cure. However, I received word that the final blood test revealed an extremely rare viral infection. The physician thought that there was a possibility that this virus could be related to the symptoms I was experiencing. As a result, I decided to undergo a comprehensive physical examination. Since Yokohama is some distance away and not an easy commute, it was decided that I should undergo the examination at a closer facility, the neurology department at the Nusetsuno Red Cross Hospital. I was admitted for about 2 weeks, where I underwent numerous tests. The diagnosis as a result of these was HDLV1 associated myelopathy. This condition is determined to be an incurable disease, and additionally there is no known effective treatment. However, recent research has shown that interferon might possibly suppress the viral infection. Based on this information, I decided to undergo treatment and was admitted into the hospital in December of 2008. I underwent daily subcutaneous injections of interferon for 4 weeks. Every day was difficult and painful. I was discharged on New Year's Eve and was able to spend New Year's at home. During the interferon treatment, I experienced many side effects that were painful. Unfortunately, it seems that many of these side effects have persisted and even now experience many difficulties. I have lost physical strength through my entire body, and it seems like I have less vitality and energy than before I entered treatment. In the following 6 months, I lost even more physical strength, where even routine walking became difficult, and it was no longer possible for me to go out of the house. Even routine household chores became nearly impossible to accomplish. Further, even small movements resulted in labored breathing, and in fact, remaining still offered no relief, sensing a diminished ability to take in breath. As time passed, the later symptoms and ongoing test results were beginning to diverge from the former resulting diagnosis. The former diagnosis could no longer explain many of the new difficulties. The principal physician recommended that I undergo another comprehensive examination. In July 2, 2009, I was admitted again for a new round of tests. After about 10 days, a new diagnosis and a new disease was identified. amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS. This is another incurable disease with no known cause and no known treatment. After the diagnosis was confirmed, treatment with steroids was initiated. I was just discharged on July 31st. As I write this, I am no longer able to perform any household duties. I am grateful and fortunate to have my husband who is fully able to do everything. Climbing up the stairs requires using both hands and feet. I am still able to perform basic personal hygiene functions and dress myself unassisted. A few months ago, I began to experience deterioration in my taste senses. Most foods I used to enjoy, I can no longer eat as the taste seems off. My appetite has severely declined, and the amount that I eat has come down in proportion. As a result, I have lost over 20 pounds. All my clothing is now 2 weeks on me, and I am concerned about what I am going to do about it. I would alter them, except that my favorites have stayed, and I am unable to do the sewing I used to enjoy. Perhaps due to my decreasing respiratory strength, I have difficulties coughing and find it nearly impossible to expel the mucus that develops in my lungs. I often end up choking and in pain as a result. When I retired, I was in excellent health, taking daily walks about town. I'm just sitting aside. She would walk 3 to 4 hours a day. To run errands, to go from one part of the city to way over to the other side and back. So physically, she was a very fit person. I traveled to many places. I have many wonderful and pleasant memories of those times. I am disappointed, however, that I am no longer able to participate any longer. I do not know what the future holds and what will happen to my condition. I trust and leave everything to God. Reality is that the only cure is a miracle. Every individual must eventually pass away and leave this world behind. I have no fear in death. Why is it so? It is because I know physical death in this world is not the end of life. I know that when Jesus Christ returns and appears in the heavens, those that have gone to sleep in Christ and are resting in the tomb shall be called awake, resurrected, and will accompany Jesus Christ back to heaven. And those who in this world have been separated by death, husbands and wives, parents, family, friends, and many more, will be reunited. God has given us a wonderful vision and hope in the future. I desire with all my heart for each of you to join in the confident hope that I have. I have been much longer than I had intended, but once more, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of your support and prayers on my behalf. I pray for God's blessing and protections to be poured out in abundance upon each of you. People who saw her, who came into contact with her, particularly in those final few months, saw something different in my mother that they didn't see in others who have the same disease. After my mom passed away, my dad tells me that he was called in by not just the physician who had treated her, but by the director of the urology department there. And they said, we don't normally do this. We don't normally ask this. But there was something different about her. There was a peace that she had. they asked? Was it genuine? Was she faking it? Or because some people do. And so, in those brief moments, my dad was able to share why. Why my mom was able to accept the diagnosis, accept the disease, and accept its results, its consequences, with peace, without becoming angry, without becoming depressed. Because while she was in the hospital, in spite of her sufferings, the smile never left her face. She had a birthday the day before she passed away. The nurses in that floor, in that area, quickly put together a piece of paper with some hearts on it and a little note. And in just about every single one mentions the smile. At least one or two of them, the nurses know that I want to be like Yoko. John writes in chapter 4, perfect love casts out fear. My mom had that. There was no fear. She had no fear. Because she had no fear, she was able to exemplify the very name. The kind of love, the kind of compassion, the kind of care that Jesus has for each and every one of us. My mom was not the kind to quote Bible texts to people, to evangelize in the traditional sense. But I believe that it's the words spoken by those who were around her, and if the number of people who came to pay her respects is any indication, her witness perhaps greater than those who often preach. Her demeanor, her attitude, her outlook, her life was her witness. And I suppose John, in his letter, is encouraging believers in the same way. Live a life that imitates Christ, and the world will know Christ through you.